Blog Talk Radio. Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. That was Chelsea Moon and the Franz Brothers singing that beautiful rendition of What Wondrous Love, What Wondrous Love. Well, Sister Marie's already in studio, and we are set to go. I just need to make a few announcements. If you are in need of prayer, if you have some things that you really want God to resolve for you, if there's some things, you know, pressing you, keeping you up at night, you can't sleep, you got some issues, you got some challenges, and you really want the Lord to get involved, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, and we promise to pray for you. In addition, my brothers and sisters, let me just remind everyone that we do have a Bible school here, a school of training, a school that is designed to not be a regular Bible institute. When you go to a regular Bible institute, you have courses like the Five Books of Moses and Biblical Archaeology and Theology 1, or let's say the Book of Psalms. You register for a semester. You take a 15-week class on any one of those subjects, the Epistles of John, Revelation, whatever it is. But we're not your traditional Bible school. We take concepts, we take issues that are challenging the church today, and we bring them to the fore. We're a no-nonsense Bible institute, and our goal is to make corrections in the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is quite deformed. It's not the church that Jesus gave us. Man has taken the church of the Lord and has deformed it through man-made doctrines and doctrines of demons. And so this Bible school, when we get together once a week for 2 hours, we talk about the things that you're never going to hear of in your church, the kind of abuses that your pastor is putting you through, the kind of stealing that goes on behind the scenes. Yes, I said stealing. Stealing of your life, stealing of your time and talent, stealing of your money through abusive forms of church government that Jesus is totally against. So if you want to be part of this Bible school, that while it's designed to deprogram you from bad teaching and to get you in line with what Jesus would have you to do, send us an email at IIBMS2020@gmail.com, IIBMS2020@gmail.com, and we'll register you and we'll start sending you the outlines, and all you have to do is just tune into Block Talk Radio and once a week for 2 hours, and you'll listen to these wonderful studies that will cause you to think. Analytical thinking. We want you to think. We want you to use your coconut. We want you to use your brain. And we want you to really reason out these arguments that we're presenting to you. So again, IIBMS2020@gmail.com. Well, tomorrow, Sister AJ is going to be in at 2 o'clock to continue her series. And I have to tell you, my brothers and sisters, we are getting top-notch programming here with our two wonderful sisters. And without any further ado, let me bring in the anchor of the series, Sister Marie. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And you, my brother, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Can't wait to get into today's show. You already gave me a private preview on what it's going to be about. And so I'm raring to go. I'm looking forward to this. With all that's going on around the world and our new president and our new vice president and what they're doing and what they're not doing and what they're saying and what they're not saying, we are in a heap of trouble here. But
yes,
the good thing is Jesus is on the throne. He's never been dethroned. He will never be dethroned. So while things scare us to a certain extent, we can remain calm because we know that Jesus is sovereign and he's in complete control. Amen.
Absolutely.
So
amen
set this
to
up
that.
For us today. Set this up for us today and tell us what we're going to be talking about.
Well, we've done a few shows on the social justice movement, which includes black liberation theology, collectivism, pluralism, and it's all under the guise of woke Christianity. So several times I've mentioned that these ideologies are actually a part of the Marxist agenda. So I intend on proving that in this series, hopefully.
Right.
So last week it occurred to me that it might be helpful to do a show on Marxism so that you can see the similarities yourselves. So my hope is by the end of this series that the listeners can understand what's happening around them.
Right.
So much of what we see today in reality is called cultural Marxism. And I'll give you the audio description here on that. And it's a love affair with collectivist ideologies that has led to even bigger government and the welfare. Now, the bigger government comes, the more, freebies or the more things that are offered in a society, the more programs they have, the bigger the government gets because then they have someone in control of that. So it gets to the point that the government is so big that the people, you know, are just surrounded by government, and then the government takes control. And that leads to a warfare state. I mean, you know, we're in a war in this. And this is led by a Marxist splinter group called the Frankfurt School. And that's a long march through the institutions. Now, we've talked about that before. These have infiltrated every corner of Western culture to corrupt traditional Christian values with political correctness. Mm-hmm. So you're being you have to be politically correct today. That is cultural Marxism. And everything you say and everything you do, that's just a... That's what it's called in reality. So the ultimate goal of cultural Marxism is to first destroy American free enterprise, capitalism, by undermining its economic engine. And the economic engine in the United States is the middle class. That is the economic engine. And this will lead, they hope, to the destruction of the basic building block of society, and that is the family unit. Mm-hmm. So they're destroying the family unit in there. So if you see what's happening to the small businesses and you need to depend on government aid because, you know, they're shutting everything down, and you see an attempt to keep families separated, and companies reducing their workforce because they can no longer afford to pay people.
Right.
So the separation of different ethnic groups, you need to recognize that that's cultural Marxism. That's exactly the agenda. That's the whole purpose of it. So all the new normals that we see is just the infiltration of Marxism in America and around the world. You know, they're capturing kingdoms. But what happens after that? You know, after they capture all these kingdoms.
So
this ideology came out of the Frankfurt School. And they're still around. And it infiltrated, you know, our universities just everywhere. And this has infiltrated the church. That's where we get woke Christianity from, the term.
Right.
Because it's actually cultural Marxism. Well, the normal church person would say, I don't want anything to do with Marxism. So they changed the name to woke Christianity to give it a Christian facade, you know? And then they say, okay, I can accept that. And people have been dumbed down and don't realize that. So I thought by doing a show on Marxism that this might help explain what's going on. So your thoughts?
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, we can see already a transition happening in this country, right, where we had a previous administration. Now, let me say this. What I'm about to say, please don't think that what I'm about to say means that I'm in love with Trump and I hate Biden.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't love Trump and I don't hate Biden. I don't love Biden and I don't hate Trump. What I'm talking about is governmental formats, like what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about, right? Okay, so
correct.
Under Trump, we had a free enterprise democracy, which means that if you work your tail off, you get rewarded, right?
Correct.
If you work hard,
yes.
and if you apply yourself, the sky's the limit, right? That
yes.
you have this country affords you opportunity to go up the economic ladder if you choose to make it happen, right? Case in point. This is why you have so many illegals trying to cross the border. They're trying to get
mm-hmm.
in here because this is the greatest economic engine in the world. Now, notice I didn't say
yes.
the greatest country. I said it is the greatest economic engine because this is the one country where free enterprise is really free enterprise, right?
Yes.
Now, that's why people are they're walking 1500 miles. Think about that, 1500 miles to cross the border. I saw one guy on the news who said, "I've been caught four times and I keep trying." Right? He's tried that four times. And
correct.
Every time he goes back home, he says, "I'm in the dumps here. I'm never going to get anywhere here in Guatemala. So let me try to cross the border again." Now, the fifth time, he succeeded. He's happy because now under Biden, he gets to stay, okay? So people have tried
right.
this again. Why? Because free enterprise. Now, what are they fleeing? Take people like Cuba. Why would they get in a makeshift raft to go 90 miles from Cuba to Miami? Why do they risk their lives in shark-infested waters to leave Cuba to get to Miami, to the United States? Why? Because in Miami or in Cuba,
yes.
it's Marxist.
Yes, exactly.
Marxist, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So now they're trying to do to America what they've basically done all around the world. If you're not Marxist somewhere around the world, like China and Russia are Marxist, right? North Korea
mm-hmm.
is Marxist. So if you're not in a Marxist country, then you're in something called a socialist country, which is you're just a few steps away from Marxism. In socialist
correct.
Countries, the government runs everything, and you have to get online, and you're at the government's mercy for everything, namely everything.
Yeah.
So Marxism is the great, terrible extreme. Socialism is in the middle. And free enterprise democracy is the best place where you can live. So what are they trying
yep.
to do to America? They're trying to first get us to be socialist. And once you're socialist, you're only three steps away from being Marxist. That's it.
That's right. That's it.
So we can already see
wow.
now there's a guy running for mayor of New York. His name is Andrew Yang, and he was running
mm-hmm.
for president on the Democratic side, and he was talking about giving everyone what they call universal paycheck. You stay home.
Correct.
And he was pushing this. When I become president, you get to stay home, and we will give you a base salary. You don't even have to go to work. You will get a base salary of $1,200 a month. In other words, now you become dependent on the government. Whether you
correct.
Work or not, whether you choose to work or not, you get free universal health care and of course, you get this $1,200 a month. And some people will say, hey, if I have to work, I'll give me the $1,200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So this is spreading in America, this nonsense. And
correct.
It's depriving people. Their incentive is being taken away because the government just
yes.
given, you know, when you give people stuff for free, then they just stay home and sit on the couch and play video games.
Correct.
That's what they do. So,
well, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Well, you're correct in everything that you said, and I can tell you another dilemma that it's creating. Not only are they shutting down businesses everywhere, small business, not the big
right.
ones, because the big ones are, you know, like Walmart and all that, Target,
right,
they're
right.
all in on
sure.
this.
So sure.
this ruin the middle class, the small businessmen. That takes away the jobs. And then offer the people, you know, extra unemployment. More than they would make maybe at work, and that's what they're doing.
Sure.
Now,
sure.
at my husband's, where my husband works, they're offering a $500 incentive for anyone who can get an employee to come to work for at least 90 days.
Wow.
Because what's happened in that company is that people would rather stay home and collect unemployment then
right.
go to work. And the problem with that is the company will shut down. When they're done with this, if you want to go to work, they're going to cut that unemployment down
sure.
back to whatever, $200 and some a week.
Right.
And they're going to cut that down, and there's not going to be any jobs left out there for you to go to.
Exactly.
That's where the problem.
Right.
That's what's going to happen. And it's happening
that's what
now.
That's what the government wants, because now you have to go crawling to the government on hands and knees and
yes.
beg them for their handouts, and that's when they've got
mm-hmm.
you. See, that's where
yep.
that's where they got you. See?
Yeah.
That's where they
yep.
because you've given them all your rights. You when you gave up your freedom, you gave them power over you.
That's right. Not
so,
only that, with the health care, they'll take away your rights with that also. They're doing that, you know, with this vaccine thing. They're trying to say, well, you know, I noticed the incentives going out if you get it. It's here now.
Right.
If you choose not to, you know, we're talking about not being able right now to fly internationally unless
right.
you have a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to separate the vaccinated from the unvaccinated, too.
Right.
So
right.
down the line, and I heard that Biden was on there and saying, well, you know, people who received the vaccine, two shots, can go out without a mask on. Well, I didn't know that was a mandate to begin with, that you can't be outside,
sure.
you know. But now he's saying that people, you know, who are vaccinated, and the unvaccinated, if you're not vaccinated, you need to wear a mask. But the person who's vaccinated, you know. I mean, in England, they're offering free beer for vaccines. So what does that
right,
tell you?
Right, right. Sure.
You know, it's time to, if you don't have any scars, battle wounds, you haven't been in the battle. That's it. You've
right.
got to stand for something eventually,
right.
or everything's going to be taken away from you.
Correct.
And you're going to live on nothing, and you're going to like it, according to them. So that's where we're headed. And we need to – the biggest problem they have is the people. The biggest threat to them is when a person said, I'm not going along with that
right.
threat. And unfortunately,
right.
we have people – who will go along with that, even in the church, 100%. And you have to say, somewhere you have to draw the line, because it's going to be one thing, then another thing, then another thing, and it's just going to lead up that you won't be able to buy and sell. That's
correct.
What's going to happen at the end of the day, unless you follow what they want or take a mark. It's leading to that. And the harder that people fight back against these things instead of just going along with everything, the better off you'll be. Or, you know,
right.
honestly,
right.
at the end of the day, because, you know, this is your children's future, too, and your grandchildren. You have to think about them down the line, and it's going to be terrible. And who wants to be known as the generation that just said, yeah, okay, you know?
Right.
I mean, they had almost, I think, over 500,000 people showed up in London and marched. And it didn't, you know, every ethnic group, they marched together.
Right.
Against lockdowns. Not against any protest, not against the, you know, government, this control that they're taking. Marxism.
Right, right, right.
They marched
right.
against that, and it never made the newspaper. You know, the standard media or the,
I heard about it through you. You're the one who told me about it last week because
yeah.
I didn't hear about it on Fox News. Didn't even talk about it.
No. What they're doing is the people are actually the reporters now. They're
right.
reporting the things.
And
correct. An interesting part about that, there was an interesting part. There was a handful of police. Well, they knew they were outnumbered, the police. They weren't knocking anyone around. But the police in the, I think it was in Hyde Park in London, they filmed a fight in Hyde Park with, you know, the people who were marching and the police. And when you check the videos, the police were inciting the people, you know, with their clubs, hitting them and everything to get a reaction. And it's funny
wow.
that the mainstream media was there to film that. And they said, look at these people, how bad they are. They're beating the police.
Mm.
Police were injured. That was just a handful of people. And it was because the police provoked that fight. I'm telling
right.
you. So they're trying to get you to rise up, you know, and fight them so they can, you know, that peaceful protest of, you know, 500,000 people never made the news, but that little bitty incident there did. And the
right.
police were actually, thank goodness for good, you know, people out there who are recording this stuff, because you could tell that they were inciting it. So that they could get it on the news and say, look at these terrible people out here, you know, what they're doing, you know. So they don't want that to make the mainstream news. So that's just, you know, a little bit of what we'll be talking about. Okay, now, sometimes in this, you're going to hear background music, and that always takes away. So just be patient. We have a lot of government officials speaking here. And you might be surprised at how many of them know exactly what's going on, taking place. This was uploaded September 2020, so it wasn't that long ago. And the audio, we need to start it at 1:10 and go to 10:08.
Okay.
It's just because... for the first minute or so, it's like head noises, all these voices. It'll drive you crazy.
Okay.
But
okay.
that's exactly what they're making a point. So we're going to 10. We're breaking it down into categories, different categories, you know. So this is basically the lost world of communism, cultural Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, so we're
that's
starting
what
it at what time?
Is. At 1:10 and going to 10:08, unless you feel the need that you want to stop it before then, that is fine.
Okay, let me just get it there to 1:10. All right. We're almost there. All righty, here we go.
Just don't let it go into the next topic until we,
okay.
you know,
all right, so
they broke the topic.
10, yeah, we're stopping it at 10:08.
Correct.
Okay.
Unless you want to stop it before.
All right. Here it is.
Okay.
What made America happen must be preserved. Thus, important. That's why The rudiments that made America happen must be preserved. Thus, applying and defending the values implied in the Constitution are, in essence, a matter of survival. For if these factors are dropped out, you get a cruel, chaotic, and revengeful society. Such a society will eventually occupy its time with pleasure-seeking hedonism, material acquisition, and violence-oriented pastimes. Hey, welcome to today's United States. No surprise, the baby boomers are in charge now.
The United States has undergone a cultural, moral, and religious revolution. And a militant secularism has arisen in this country. It's always had a hold on the intellectual and academic elites. But in the 1960s, it captured the young in the universities and the colleges. And we had this great battle, cultural war, begin then nationally. And since then, if you will, secularism has really achieved dominance in the academic community and the intellectual community and the entertainment community in Hollywood, among part of the political community, but not the nation as a whole. However, it is much stronger than it was, and so this is the basis of the great cultural war we're undergoing right now. And this militant, it is an anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-traditionalist revolution. It's partly the sexual revolution has a lot to do with it and how people live. And so we are two countries now. We are two countries morally and socially and culturally and theologically. And cultural wars do not lend themselves to peaceful coexistence. One side prevails or the other prevails. And the truth is that while the conservatives, in my judgment, we won the Cold War with political and economic communism, we've lost the cultural war with cultural Marxism, which I think has prevailed pretty much in the United States, or is now the dominant culture, whereas those of us who are traditionalists, we are, if you will, the counterculture.
What exactly is cultural Marxism, the dominant culture of today? How did the founders of communism figure out a way to take over our country? Not with guns and weapons, but with values and ideas. Let's take a closer look at this and see exactly how it happened. There was a man named Karl Marx. Marx got an idea. His idea was that the workers of the world should unite and rise up to counter an evil foe, that foe being capitalism. Capitalism. The idea that people and private companies should be able to own the means of production and be free to earn and have as much as they wished was anathema to Marx. Marx felt the state should own the means of production as well as products produced, and then the state should distribute a fair share of all such products to each and every worker. Thus, in his book, The Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx thundered, "Workers of the world, unite." Sure that he had a principle to unify all workers in every country, Marx looked forward to eventually taking over the world.
Karl Marx believed that you would have a rebellion by the workers against the capitalist system, which would then create a Marxist communist society where you would have dictatorship of the proletariat.
Unfortunately, when World War I broke out, the workers of the world did not unite. In fact, the workers united with their respective countries and fought each other.
What happened was the Marxists had an enormous disillusionment when the French and the Germans and the British workers all rose up for the fatherland and went to war happily fighting one another.
Marx's idea was a total failure. Workers were more loyal to their respective countries, churches, and cultural values than they were to their counterparts in other countries.
They did not want to give up their houses, their cars, their stoves, their products. They did not want to have a classless society. They did not vote, and they didn't even have an overthrow.
Some years after Marx failed, several of his disciples got a new idea on how to take over the world. One of his disciples, Antonio Gramsci, while where else but in prison, wrote up a series of plans, now known as the Prison Notebooks. In this plan, Gramsci announced, the workers of the world will unite only after the Long March is over. The Long March?
In other words, they had to get into the culture and change the way of people's thinking. And if people were thinking about patriotism and nation and God and country, that was a mechanism which was too resistant to Marxism. It could never take hold. So you had to erode and destroy that in the individuals. That began what's called the Long March through the institutions, through the seminaries, through the churches, through the media, through Hollywood, and all the rest of it, to create an anti-Christian culture which would destroy the Christian beliefs and convictions in the vast majority of the people, so they would embrace the ideas of Marxism, and they would embrace the ideas that they had rejected, and they would be open to a takeover, basically, by Marxists. Now, not political Marxists, but cultural Marxists.
Rather than workers uniting and marching into battle, thus seizing power through force, they would make a long march through the institutions. Institutions like the arts, cinema, theater, literature, schools, college, seminaries, newspapers, magazines, and what is now known as radio, TV, and the mass media. Once this march is over, all the barriers to the acceptance of Marxism will have been quietly and systematically removed.
So to get to that point, they said we have to destroy the culture, and what they were talking about was the Christian culture, what we used to call Christendom or Western civilization.
If you can break people away from religious affinities, for example, where they would turn to their community, their religious community, for support and help, or they would turn to scripture for answers to certain perplexing questions. If they have an affinity to their religion, they might say, well, we're not going to go along with government because it's contrary to my religion. So cultural Marxism would attack religion of all kinds. Doesn't make any difference, because there was another place where people could go other than to the government for support and for answers.
We, the people, will have thus been indoctrinated or brainwashed into seeing the wisdom of Marxism and the folly of capitalism. Thus, the door to socialism and communism will be open, and the door to a constitutional republic closed. Because the success of cultural Marxism means the demise of the U.S. Constitution.
Constitution is a set of principles. It's based ultimately on a moral code, because you go back to the Declaration of Independence. What was the basis for the Declaration of Independence? The law of nature and of nature's God, right? The ultimate moral code. But if you don't follow those principles, if you try, as the expression goes, shave a point off here and there to make a buck or to be reelected or if you're a special interest group to get some kind of a government subsidy, then the consequences are going to be in the long run deleterious to society as a whole. And there's the difficulty. There are too many people that are thinking in the short term and not applying these principles, which are designed to give us a long-term stability to the system.
Amen to that, brother.
Yes. Comment. Go ahead.
Well, this last guy was talking about short-term gains versus mm-hmm. long-term interest. Well, that's the same thing that goes on in the church. The bishop will collect three-fourths offerings in one service because he's looking at short-term benefits, but what he does in the long
yep.
run is he kills the church.
Exactly.
Right? That
exactly.
same thing. If you
yep.
if you just break it down, if you make it simple, if people the way people are going to, if your pastor's collecting three or four offerings in a service, guess what? A church of 5,000 is going to dwindle down to nothing because people can't take that kind of stick-ups. You know, you mean to
That's
tell me
right.
in one event I got stuck up four times?
Yep.
So
well, it's agreed that's ruining the church, you see. Instead of standing, you know, for something or, you know, against us, they're contributing to this by what they're doing.
Sure.
Because it's short-term.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are. This is a great...
Okay, we're at 10:08, right? Okay?
Right.
Are we there? Okay.
Yes, we are.
Okay, let's review a few things that were said here. Cultural Marxism is changing the cultures, beliefs, and truths on everything we ever held dear. And what they're doing is stripping away the consequences of distinguishing between what is morally right and wrong. So the idea of collective thought, remember we did collectivism, the
right.
idea of collective thought is in everything. We can't have two different opinions on anything, according to the Marxists. So if
right.
you go along with what the government tells you to do, you know, instead of using your common sense, you are already, you know, buying into collective thought. So that's something they said that I wanted your opinion on. How do you feel about that?
Well, again, I make it simple. I take these guys, they presented a wonderful argument, and for people to understand it, I would just say, look, when you go to church and your pastor does not allow you to have a different thought than him, when
yes.
everything he says you have to say amen to, when you have to be a robot, right?
Yep.
And you're not allowed to have a different opinion. That's Marxism, right?
Absolutely.
And that's the best way to understand. You go to a church where the pastor's a dictator, a despot.
Mm-hmm.
It's his way or the highway. That church is communistic. It's a communist church.
That's right.
You see, and the thing about the communists is this. Well, you know, the state is in charge. No, the state's not in charge. Putin's in charge. Putin is in charge.
Yes.
They want you to think that the state's not in charge. There's a few people, a few kings calling the shots.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. That's exactly right. And
so,
we're told that will happen. You know?
Right. That's it.
You think
That's
about
it.
How this goes along. Cultural Marx, with the word of God, cultural Marxism captures people without any weapon. Right? They just brainwash people into going along with things. So you're not, you know, you're not running away. You're being pulled into something easily without
right.
any resistance at all.
Right.
You know? And so this collective thought by the Marxists, you know, it's something that the Lord talked about. And the Lord
right.
talked about it in the very end of days. When we look
right.
at Revelation 17:12, and then the 10 horns, which thou saw, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Verse 13.
Right.
These have what? One mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They have collective thought. That's exactly, they have collective thought. They're going
sure.
to give their power, their kingdom, their strength to the beast. That is, one mind is collective thought. Where we as Christians are to have the mind of Christ, and we're to be united. We may have different personalities. We may be different. But the one thing that we are to be united on is Christ. You know, and truth, under truth. This is the opposite of that.
Right.
So, you know, we're not there yet with the kingdoms because that's in the very last days. But I would say that seizing the people, you know, in the different nations, the control, the lockdown, the restrictions, you know, have all been a tool to conquer people. And these leaders are actually pushing collectivism. You know, because they have to have the one mind. This could be the beginning of the road. you know, this Marxism, and we see it happening today.
Right, right.
But, you
well,
know,
listen.
Just an observation, they don't receive those kingdoms until the end of days, the actual end of days, but go ahead.
Right, right. Well, we're seeing this now where here you have a party, the Democratic Party. They have a slim margin in the House. They have a slim margin in the Senate, and they have a slim margin. They have the presidency, right? So they have the presidency, they have the Senate, and they have the House. So what are they doing? They're ramming every socialist, you know, idea down the throats of the rest of us, right?
Yep.
That's what they're doing. Okay,
it's the takeover.
Right. It's the good thing is that you know it's a very slim margin, so they don't have complete power, and we can still fight back, or you know those of us who have a will to fight back could fight back. But listen, they are transforming this country right before our eyes.
Exactly.
Right before our eyes. We can see it happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are, and listen, people don't want to go to work. I have a friend who owns a business. He cannot get his workers to come back because the COVID plan for unemployment is so good. It's so good that people don't want to, I'm not coming back. I'm on unemployment. Let me just ride this out.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what's happening at my husband's work,
And so, you see, the government is luring these people away from incentive work. Right? I mean, the government
is easing you
into to come and suckle at their, you know, at their feet so that, you know, the government can be your mommy, a nanny state. If you will.
Yep.
But the problem with that is when revenues get tight, then the nanny state doesn't give out nice bonuses. When they've got you hooked, now they tell you, okay, this is what you can eat. This is how much you can eat. This is where you can live. Your voucher for housing is only good for this section of the neighborhood. So that's where they got. See, that's what that. Now you're hooked on this stuff. And it's like a crack addict. You're going for more crack.
Yep.
Now, you know crack's no good for you. You know crack is just, you know, destroying your brain cells, but you're hooked on the crack. That's what you're
hooked. Right.
And these people love
That's
it because
exactly
then they have power. My governor, Governor Cuomo, this guy loves power. He loves it. He comes on TV every day to give us an update, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, look at the Godfather of New York. This guy he loves to have power. He loves it.
Yeah.
And your governor, her problem is that she's a witch, but she has no bewitching
powers. She loves nothing.
Bewitching. Yeah, she has, some witches are good at bewitching and, you know, just conning people. She's no good. She comes on, she looks nasty, and that turns people off, just like Cuomo. Cuomo comes on. And you listen to him, and you say, "Look at that goomba! Look at that guy! Go make some pizza! You know, go to the pizzeria and start making some pizza."
Think about it. People are not using their head in a lot of ways. I'm not saying all people, but you know, in our case, she did not want anyone traveling to Florida because, you know, Florida, you know, opened up, and it would just, you know, be terrible for our state if anyone went to Florida, and she was, that's a place that you need to stay away from. Meanwhile, she went there to visit her dad of that. So everybody's in lockdown. From going there, and she went down there, and then when she was caught, she said, "Well, you know, I was taking care of an ailing dad down there. I wasn't near anyone. I wasn't, you know, out partying. I wasn't doing this. So it's always okay for them but it's not okay for you because they're in control. So, Well, if you haven't noticed, these nations are uniting already. I mean, you have to live under a rock to not notice this because they're all following the same directive. They're, you know, they're consolidating. Our schools are consolidating. Our post office is consolidating. Our police department is consolidating.
Right.
Our churches consolidate, you know. Sure. That's not by chance.
Listen, Walmart consolidated. Yeah. I go to Walmart now, and I gotta get all my food. Then I have to scan it myself. Then I have to put it in the bag myself. I'm working for Walmart. Walmart doesn't work for me. I'm working for them.
Yeah, well, that's Marxism, isn't it? They'll tell you,
right.
Yeah, you'll pay for it or, you know, what you can afford, and you'll do it that way for a while until they decide you can stay home, and we'll tell you when the food is available and what we have available to give you, you know, if anything. Look at Saddam Hussein. Think about that. The people had to go to him for food.
Sure.
Think about that.
Right.
You know, he had to wear, he was the storehouse, right? With
sure.
The grain. He had the storehouse and the people had to go to him. So when he was taken down, not many people were upset about that. The people that lived in
right.
the country were glad
right.
because of the abuse that he and his sons did to the people of that country, you
right.
know.
Sure.
They were not upset about that. So
no, they were jubilant. They were jubilant.
Yes. So we do see an anti-religious movement, you know, going on. But I've never seen it before on this scale, like right now, you know. And it's escalating as we go because, you know, they're constantly condemning church and religion. We're against everything, you know. They're against correct doctrine. They're against the Bible.
Right.
You know. And this is leavened the church. It's been going on for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So they're you know, unhinging from the Bible, from correct doctrine, and all these other things are starting right now. But at the end of the day, the Marxist agenda is to eliminate religion altogether.
Right.
You know, so you have, that's why, you know, it's every day I'm reading, the evangelicals won't take the vaccine, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're the haters. They're just the haters and all this, you know,
right.
They're the problem. So that's all an attempt to take down any form of religion.
Right.
You know,
right,
and,
right.
And so, but go ahead. We can go. Our next one, geez, I'm going along fast here. Okay, we're going from, we're at 10:08. We're going, are we at 10:08 right now?
Yes,
let's
we
go
are.
To,
we're at
10:08. Okay, we're going to talk, this talks about the Frankfurt School, and this
okay.
is the new Marxist. That's what it should say on the documentary. This is 10:08 to 2056. Talk about the Frankfurt School.
Okay, so again, where do you want me to stop it at?
2056 from
okay,
10:08
so
to 2056.
Yeah. All right.
Unless
okay,
you want to stop it before.
All right. No, listen. The commentators are very good. You know.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, yeah.
I thought they
know,
were really easy to understand. I think.
And
no.
That's another thing. They're not talking over people's heads. Right?
Correct.
They're speaking
correct.
In plain language, and they're listen, there's a Marxism that, you know, is a government takeover, but then there's a cultural Marxism where they are getting to people's hearts and leavening people's hearts and minds one at a time.
Yes.
See, I like the
exactly.
way they did that. So, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
okay. Here we go.
Let's back up a moment. How did cultural Marxism get into the United States? Some brief history. In 1923, members of the Marxist Communist Party set up an institute at Frankfurt University in Germany. This institute was named the Institute for Social Research. Later, it would become known as simply the Frankfurt School. These new Marxists, under the direction of Max Horkheimer, had seen the old Lenin Marxists fail. The workers of the world did not unite in World War I. Further, they realized why. Antonio Gramsci, the disciple who wrote the prison notebooks, had it right. Marxism could only flourish after a long march through the cultural institutions. Now, the mantra would be, change Western culture, and then the workers will unite.
After Marx, there were a group of Marxists who wisely decided that you could bring this collectivist society to a nation through culture as well, by introducing certain values and concepts that would break down the family, for example. If you could somehow break down the family unit so that it was no longer self-sustaining and no longer valued in a society, then that would leave individual members who formerly could turn to the family for support in times of need. They would now be cut loose. They would be without a place to go in times of need. So now they have to turn to the government.
But just as the march through the institutions was about to begin, an anti-Marxist, anti-Semitic Adolf Hitler ascended to power, and World War II began. Since the leading lights of the Frankfurt School were Marxist, the school packed up its ideology and fled to America, settling down in New York City with the support of Columbia University. But what exactly is the march? And who was marching? What values has the long march through the institutions rolled over? Let's hear it from some of the Frankfurt School graduates themselves, like George Lukacs, Antonio Gramsci, Charles Reich, Herbert Marcuse, Theodore Adorno, Erich Fromm, Wilhelm Reich, and Max Horkheimer.
Marx got it all wrong. The workers are not up to being the vanguard of the communist revolution. Let's translate Marxism into cultural terms.
And Herbert Marcuse.
The West is guilty of genocidal crimes against every civilization and culture it has encountered. America and Western civilization are the world's greatest repositories of racism, sexism, nativism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism, fascism, and Nazism. American society is oppressive, evil, and undeserving of loyalty.
Have you ever heard of cultural Marxism? If so, what is it?
America is so oppressive. Listen to this nut.
Yes.
America is so oppressive that when Hitler started his nonsense in Germany, where did the communists go to? Where did the communists want to go? New York City.
Yeah, that was my note. Isn't that funny? I caught that too. They came here.
Right. It's so bad that we just had to flee to this bad place. No, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And where are the Cubans? Where are the Cubans fleeing to when they get on their dinky rafts? To Miami. Where are the Central and South American people fleeing to? To the border. Really?
Right.
We're bad? And people are coming here in droves?
Yeah. Well, I had the note here that, I noticed that too, and I said these Marxists view all this rhetoric, yet they're living in the United States and utilizing all the benefits here.
Right.
I had the same, that caught me too, right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I thought about that, you know?
Yeah, is anybody in America crossing the border to go to North Korea?
Exactly.
I don't see anybody to go to North Korea. I don't see anybody cross. Oh, I can't wait to get into North Korea. No.
They flee Marxism to start Marxism. That made no sense to me either.
Right.
Bro.
Right.
I saw that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. America is so, he's talking like a monster. America is so xenophobic.
Why do these people all sound like Klaus Schwab to me?
Yeah.
So when I hear him speak, I'm thinking, we know what he is. And
sure.
We know what he's trying to do. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Sure. All right.
I'm not familiar completely with Marxism.
I have not heard of cultural Marxism.
Cultural Marxism. No, I don't even think I know what it is. That kind of talk is gibberish to me.
Okay. It's used in some terms, I think, as a sort of the thing that is almost politically correct from a Marxist standpoint. In other words, from a socialist or communist standpoint.
George Lucas.
I see the revolutionary destruction of society as the one and only solution. A worldwide overturning of values cannot take place without the annihilation of the old values and the creation of the new ones by the revolutionaries.
Lukács' gift to America later became known as cultural terrorism. Gifts such as radical sex education in public schools, covering such subjects as free love, outdatedness of monogamy, irrelevance of religion, and the archaic nature of the middle-class family. Women were called upon to rebel against the sexual mores of the day, such being the core values of Christianity and Western culture. His ideas later became the basis for the sexual revolution, embraced by a generation of drug-challenged baby boomers.
When you hear people say, as I did on the campaigns, Pat, what happened to the country we grew up in? Physically, it's the same country. But they're right, we're in another country now. And this is why I think the cultural Marxists have prevailed and are prevailing. They have captured the young. What were they saying in the Abbie Hoffman, we're going to capture your children? In a lot of ways they did.
Although Gramsci died in 1937, his prison notebooks lived on as the blueprints to de-Christianize the West.
The civilized world has been thoroughly saturated with Christianity for 2,000 years. Any country grounded in Judeo-Christian values cannot, therefore, be overthrown until those roots are cut. But to cut the roots, to change culture, a long march through the institutions is necessary. Only then will power fall into our laps like a ripened fruit.
And the new generation of freedom-loving, authority-challenged baby boomers were quite willing to accept the bait and take a toke.
Turn on, tune in, drop out.
Yes, our prison planner, Antonio Gramsci, had quite a dream. The only way a Marxist revolution could be successful was if the heat shield of capitalism, Christianity, were first destroyed. Charles Reich.
There is a revolution coming. It will not be like revolutions of the past. It will originate with the individual, with culture, and it will change the political structure only as its final act.
Reich thus helped shape the minds of the American 60s youth with his runaway best-selling book, The Greening of America. Gramsci and Marx were now reaching their target audience, and the long march was in progress.
in the 1960s, the church pulled back from the culture. You had the first sex and Satanism film. You had the first X-rated film where the pastor takes the boy up to his room in Broadway to get on his knees but not to pray. You had all of the perversion. You went from 100% broad audience films that anybody could see to 82% R-rated movies, which were restricted. You had a tremendous loss of viewership of the movie theaters. Even though television had been around for 20 years, you went from 44 million weekly attendance to 17 million weekly attendance. And so basically what happened, the church gave up in the mid-60s. It came up on prayer in schools. It gave up on being a force in society. And Johnson shackled the church when he said that when he used the 501c3 to say the churches couldn't talk about politics, and the church just buckled under. When prayer was taken out of school, the church buckled under. When the church collapsed from Hollywood, they buckled under. So it was the church's internal collapse, and that has happened before in history, and unless people get revival, reformation, renewal, we will never reclaim the culture.
So cultural Marxism would be that type of activity in any society that breaks down the culture in such a way so that people instinctively turn to government as an alternative for the support that they otherwise would have. This is done through art, and through music, it's through literature, it's through motion pictures and that kind of thing. It's the implanting of certain ideas and concepts which make them very ripe for the philosophy of collectivism and makes them very ripe for turning to government as the big daddy, the big solver of all problems.
As Hudson Institute scholar John Fonte wrote, Max Horkheimer and Gromsky believe that there are no absolute moral standards that are universally true for all human beings outside a particular historical context. In other words, to the Frankfurt School, values come from society or the state collective.
Same, it's relative.
Collectivism implies that if something is important enough, then the state should step in and make sure that everybody conforms, whether they want to or not. So the essence of collectivism in a political sense is that it employs the use of coercion to require people to work together. And once coercion enters, then you are actually participating in a negative social conduct, which is in many cases worse than the social condition that you're trying to overcome by the collective action. People are not given free will. They're required to do this and that because the majority has decided this is for the greater good of the greater number and so forth. Whereas individualism works toward the same goals, but they do so in the environment of freedom. So it's the difference between freedom and coercion.
Beautifully put. It is the difference between freedom and coercion.
That's right. That's right. You know, if we look at the events recently on coercion, you know, the mask mandate,
right,
you know,
right,
social distancing, vaccine,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it's starting to divide families already, you know.
Right.
And, you know, they're being programmed to view you as the person who's trying to stop the world from getting back to normal.
Right.
And we're not going back to normal as we knew it.
Right,
the thing that
right.
concerned me about that, he said the last act to this was government. And now that we have a structure in place, in the you know, with the governors and the president
mm-hmm.
and stuff
right.
that are actually on board with this, they consider that the last act. So are we going to get back to what we knew? And I would say no, not
right.
at all.
Right.
Because it's already infiltrated the government. I think the U.S. Ignorance on Marxism has been due to the fact that people haven't noticed it until last year, you know, that something was wrong.
Right.
So
right.
they were
right.
being programmed and didn't even realize it all this time.
Right.
You know,
right.
to transition into that. So your thoughts?
Well, you know, I would dare say that the leaven has already reached sports. For example, I'm an avid New York Mets fan. I'm a baseball fan. I watch the New York Mets. And it so happens that we have a new ownership, right? We have a brand new mm-hmm. owner. We have new stars on the team. The owners have been spending. But when I watch the broadcast, they're constantly bombarding me with COVID-19 advertising. For example,
exactly.
There's a commercial that comes on 10 times in one baseball game. And mm-hmm. we have a slogan. It used to go, "Let's go Mets." Now the slogan is "Keep your mask, get the vax." Okay.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So they took "Let's go Mets" and they changed it to "Keep your mask and get your vax, get your vaccine."
Yeah.
And this isn't the government. This is a business. A business
yes.
is trying to dictate policy now.
Yes.
Right?
Because they're on board. They have one mind. And it doesn't
Correct.
Matter if they're in sports, in the news media, whatever. That
right.
collectivism that they're putting together is all everywhere in culture. So everywhere
right.
we turn, we're being bombarded with this, you know, with these messages.
Correct.
About the agenda, how they can move the agenda. And I agree with that. That happened in soccer, too, even in England, because, you know,
right.
my husband loves soccer.
Yeah.
He was watching an English game, and at the end of the game, he normally keeps it on because at the end of the game, they review all the teams and what's
mm-hmm.
happening and, you know, what's going
right.
on with the managers and things like that. But now, at the end of the game, we get, you know, at least a 20-minute lecture on how we're all racist in society.
Right, right, right.
How we're
right.
all, you know, society and the people in society and mask mandates and how we're hurting other people. That's the message. I told him, I said, you need, after the game, shut it off. I don't even want
right.
to hear it anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm
right.
done with that. Because they're doing that in every sport.
Sure.
You know, it's an attack on the family, this whole thing, because most families are united by love. So if you can divide the family through propaganda and brainwashing,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can turn people, you know, people sometimes then turn elsewhere. For help.
Yeah.
In this case,
sure.
they want them to turn to the government and away from their family.
Right.
So this is an attack on families at this point,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Sure, sure.
And the Lord warned
Absolutely.
Us, our enemies will be those of our own household. So
right.
if one of
right.
your family members buys this agenda, they'll turn on you, you know.
Sure.
If they're going to drink the Kool-Aid, they'll turn on you.
Sure, they might even rat you out. They might even rat you out and tell the government you didn't get
yes.
the vaccine. Yeah, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Cause
and he is right
Snitches.
About – go ahead.
You know, the Governor Cuomo, they hired people to snitch on you.
I remember
right?
that.
And so they had people watching. I mean, the government was hiring snitches.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
you know – Think about
well, they
that.
Have track and trace in England, and you can't do anything, you know, without it fell apart. I mean, you know, the track
yeah.
and trace idea because no one was, you know, on board. But to go anywhere and do anything, you know, you had to show that, you know, be traced if you had COVID or not, and they were doing track and trace on everyone. And if, let's say, that has an indicator, if you're around someone who has tested positive for
mm-hmm.
it in the past, so they were able to see and say, oh, you had COVID, you know?
Yeah.
But we have the HIPAA here, the HIPAA laws. They got to take that down, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just, I was going to say, back in the 60s, you know, that is a lot of where, you know, it started. And I know I was born in the 50s, so I was raised in the 60s. And I can honestly say there was an anti-family thing going on back then. You know, your parents didn't know anything. They were always wrong, you know. And your parents at that time felt like they had stepped into Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
From the 50s. That's exactly how they viewed it. They thought this is the end, you know. And we all turned out all right, you know.
Sure we did. Sure we did.
So we turned out. God is faithful. So
sure is.
I can honestly say I watched that transition, especially Berkeley. Berkeley in California was terrible. I mean, you know, looking back at it now for propaganda and pushing a Marxist agenda. So it did go through. Gromsky did, you know, it was in our universities back then. The thing was, you still had the family unit. You still had morals. You still had, you know, Christianity fighting against this. But now, with everything taken down, you know, and the infiltration into our churches, that's the main thing that they did. They infiltrated. They crept into our churches, and they started taking down, you know, the moral standard for the pastor, the Bible, the values, everything. So when we look at Scripture where it talks about these men crept in unawares, that's exactly what has happened with our churches, you know. There's no moral in our morals in our churches anymore. Our leaders, they're, and you've done a great, many great shows in your class on that about how, you know, we view, you know, the church right now, how they get away with sin, how they can get away with sin, and the people cover for them now, you know.
Yep.
So
it's crazy.
They're removing that.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
And you have to remember Gromsky's books, they're a blueprint to de-Christianize the West. I mean, there's no secret. That's not a secret.
Right.
And if you think about it, people should, you know, might be interested to know that the moral standard of cultural Marxism is the same as Aleister Crowley and Alice Bailey, and they were both Luciferians. This is exactly what her agenda is. But then she got off into the New Age with that, you know. She was into, the whole thing was she hated Christianity, anything about Christianity.
Right.
And, you know, the last, in order to get the New World Order, the last thing that had to go that they would infiltrate was the church. And that's it. So we see that now. So are we done with that segment of it?
Oh, yeah. We ran it all the way to where you told me to run it.
Okay. The reason is I want to mention something. In the 1960s book, The Greening of America, that is known today as the Green Deal, Agenda 2130 and the Great Reset. That's what the Greening of America was in 1960s.
Excellent. Do you hear that? Do you hear that, Saints?
Yeah.
Sister Marie just connected the dots for us. Thank you so much.
Yep. You're welcome. So that book, The Greening of America, that is exactly what that is. And so it's easy to make the connection with the Green Deal because they keep it, you know, and then the Green Deal sounded better than Agenda 2130 because that was an agenda. The Great Reset, it's all the same. It's all the same.
Right.
It's Marxism.
Sure. Right. Right. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. All right. So where do you want us to go now?
What we're going to do... We're going to play, we're at 2056, we're going to go into critical theory. This segment is about critical, and we're going to take it to 2840.
Okay.
We're only going, you know, like eight or so
eight minutes
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're taking these are different categories, by the way, people. You know, different parts of Marxism. That's why we're stopping in between and talking about, you know, each one of these. So now we're entering critical theory, and we'll see what that is.
Okay, here it is.
Not to be outdone by Karl Marx, a brilliant mind or two at the Frankfurt School soon came up with several of their own ideas, the foremost known as critical theory. The idea behind critical theory is to challenge all previously accepted standards in every aspect of life from a Marxist perspective. Standards such as Abe Lincoln was honest, home is where the heart is, democracy and capitalism are good, the founders believed in freedom. In doing this, every negative thing one could possibly say about America was dredged up, circulated in books, movies, TV, schools, colleges, and even the clergy, so that the youth would be endlessly indoctrinated. Things like white men killed the Indians, fathers were repressive, God is dead, the founders had slaves.
They did have a problem, which was that although slavery was technically legal throughout all the colonies, only some of the colonies really had slave-based economies. The southern states, Maryland, South, essentially. And therefore, they had to deal with the practical problem of how could you integrate these states with the northern and middle colonies, middle states and northern states, in a way that would, as much as possible, unify them. So they had to make some kind of initial political compromises with the social institutions that existed in the southern states. But there was a mindset at the time that slavery would essentially wither away because it was not a practical economic concern in the long run. But it certainly was not a matter that could be criticized from the point of view of principle. You know, the first principle in the preamble is to create a more perfect union. That was their first goal.
But when the consciousness-challenged baby boomers repeatedly heard that the establishment, as they came to refer to it, was a bunch of racist, overly religious, sexually deprived sexists who were xenophobic Indian killers and anti-Semites, they internalized the criticisms. Soon their movies and songs began to reflect these values, spreading them throughout the nation's youth culture. Critical theory was doing its job, especially on people like Charles Manson and John Lennon. Even though the reality-challenged baby boomers of the 1960s were the most free, most affluent, and most privileged of any youth in any age, they were bored with their lives and swallowed the Frankfurt School's propaganda like a hit of California sunshine. Books like The Death of the Family, Escape from Freedom, The Mass Psychology of Fascism, The Sexual Revolution, The Joy of Sex, and the authoritarian personality flew off the shelves. Counterculture drug movies like The Trip, Easy Rider, The Wild Angels, The Wild Bunch, and Born Loser played theaters endlessly. Books like Authoritarian Personality were particular hits because they attacked the patriarchal family unit, a deeply Christian institution. So along came movies depicting the family unit as sexually repressed and dysfunctional. Movies like Battle of the Sexes, How to Handle Your Wife, Harold and Maude, The Graduate, Bonnie and Clyde, Carnal Knowledge, Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice, Boys in the Band, The Godfather, and Kramer versus Kramer instilled cultural pessimism about families.
The basic unit of a family is where a male as a sex joins with a female as a sex, and they're able to work together to help each other. And by being able to work together to help each other, they perfect each other, they love each other, they care for each other. And in the process, they learn to love and perfect and care for others within the society. They become good citizens because they're good citizens within their own home, and that produces a society that loves each other. Marriage is a particularly Judeo-Christian institution. It was Jesus who instituted one man and one wife forever shall become one flesh.
By targeting the family unit, the cultural Marxists knew they could eventually destroy the middle class of the United States. Why? Because the family unit is the basic building block of the middle class. Destroy the middle class, and you eventually destroy the economic engine of the United States. Destroy the economic engine of the U.S. and its political structure, built on capitalism and the Constitution, crumbles.
I just recently had some shares stolen from me on the stock market by our government, who seized 80% of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac shares. I'm like, how could this happen? They seized private property.
The whole point of a socialistic society is to do four things. Marx talks about destroying the family, two, destroying property, three, destroying religion, and four, destroying the nation. And what you end up with is the gulag, where the whole country becomes the Soviet Union.
Yes, critical theory is diabolical genius. The cultural Marxist could accomplish what Marx, Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin only dreamed of accomplishing. Whereas Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin took Marx's ideas and delivered the brutal Soviet Union to the world, Gromsky, Lukács, and Marcuse took Marx's ideas and delivered user-friendly cultural Marxism to America.
The Supreme Court has been converted into a fighting ally of secularism in the wars against traditionalism in the United States. The Supreme Court has perverted the Constitution. It has usurped power that belongs to the states and imposed secular views and values on the states and on the communities, making decisions that used to be made democratically at the local level.
This time it seems Marx won. Today, post-Engel, politically correct baby boomers are so completely immersed in the Frankfurt School's cultural pessimism, they can't see the forest for the trees. They're fish in a bowl of muddy water. They're Neo in the Matrix. They swim in it. They absorb it through every pore of their beings. Starting in the 1960s, cultural Marxism has woven its values into every American's very existence. Khrushchev was right when he said, "We will bury you."
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yes, absolutely. So where I see it's different today from the 60s, see, right now the youth are being pressured to be disobedient to their family and to have any moral values, again, you know, like it was in the 60s. But the difference that I see is they're being programmed to be obedient to the government. And that's something that they weren't in the 60s, you see,
right.
Because you
Great
were
point.
Anti-government.
Great
yeah.
point.
So there is a difference between that. They were not only anti-family, or, you know, outside of, you know, the hippie movement, they were anti, you know, against their parents. They didn't know any. But they were not pro-government. You see, they were against the government, too. Now,
right.
you know, we have the same thing going on, but they're programmed to be obedient to the government. So, it's different. It's a little different
sure.
from that.
Sure.
So
sure.
any other thoughts that you have?
Well, I echo everything you said, and we can already see, right, where today's society, our young people, they don't even want to fight. See, in the 60s, you had people
yeah.
that fought back.
Today, yeah, exactly.
You know, they're just going along with the current. You know,
right.
you in the
right.
60s, you had people who swam against the current. Today,
right.
you have people who completely swim with the current.
Yes.
So there's nobody really opposed. You know, when I mean nobody, I'm talking about the young generation, right? People are just, they're going, like the saying in the street, they're going with the flow.
Yes.
Right? So, when you have a whole generation who's going with the flow, you don't have a chance because you need, somewhere along the line, you need one Martin Luther, one at least.
Right.
Right? And if you don't have any, you're in trouble.
Right.
You're
They're
in
not,
trouble.
Nobody's willing to die on that mountain anymore.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
They give in, and even this is sad because within the church, you know, the same people will say, you know, I'm going to die for Christ, but no, I have to obey the government. you're not, like I said, there's no battle scars. If you're in a war, you're going to have some battle scars.
Right.
And we're in a war, you know, with this, because this involves the mindset, how we raised our children under that mindset that's being totally uprooted now with our grandchildren, you know?
Right.
And we have to think about that. Their ultimate plan to destroy the family, property, destroy religion, and destroy the nation. That's exactly what, and that is the Green Deal. So you end up like the Soviet Union. That's Marxism.
Right.
You know.
And listen, you have pastors who have helped destroy the church because when they preach, they're just preaching about, hey, you need to sow this seed so that you can get your COVID check. No, you don't need to sow a seed. You just need to wait. The government will get to you. You'll eventually get the check. It might be 6 months from now, but you don't have to sow a seed for that. But that's, you know, so in the church, everything's about sowing a seed, money.
Yep.
So
and a lot of these churches signed on to the 501c3 in the beginning, which could monitor what they talked about in church. So they were, you know, selling out in droves.
Right.
Because, see, they wanted the tax-exempt status right from the beginning, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
they threw the church under the bus for that. When the government will dictate what you can preach, you know, what you can say, and you sign on to that, they're already throwing the church under the bus.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you know, in the 60s, they were convinced that a generation of youth, you know, they managed to convince that they weren't really free unless they embraced the anti-cultural movement, you know, anti-culture movement, that was your freedom. That's what was propagated at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we see in this agenda in America, with the tearing down of statues and tearing down a history, you hear that's Marxism. So it's not about the racist movement. It's not. It's about Marxism by a Marxist group.
Right.
An admitted Marxist group.
Like defund the police. You know what that's saying. Once you eliminate the police, who comes in? The army.
Mean,
that's what that's what the communists like. The communists like the army.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yep.
So
yep.
There you go. Defund the police.
China.
Right. Sure.
Look at China.
My goodness.
Jeez. And that's exactly what you'll get.
Yep.
It is horrible.
Yep.
Well, you know, I didn't go on to the next one, but we can do that because I have no idea how long it is, but I believe it's socialism. I wasn't sure how much we would get into the audio, but we can move on to that if you want. Isn't the next one about socialism?
Yeah, and the reason why I'm not stopping it is because people like Buchanan and others, they make it so easy that you really don't need to, you know, We're not just stopping the audio because we like to hear ourselves talk. If these guys are making
right.
it plain, you know, just let them keep talking. They're great. Okay.
Yeah,
so
that was the thing with this.
Right.
The thing with this was that I wanted to make it as simple because it can sound complicated at times, but it's easy to see and it's easy to understand. Now, we're going into, I believe, socialism. When
okay.
it goes to the next topic, you can
we'll
stop
it,
and I have no idea how long this one is.
Okay.
But
here
you'll
is.
See that.
Okay.
To understand what socialism is, one must first understand what communism is. Communism is an economic system whereby the state owns the means of production. Means of production meaning capital. Capital meaning money, machinery, labor, land, and resources. Socialism is an economic system whereby the state owns the fruits of production. Fruits of production meaning revenues generated by the means. Revenues generated by the means is another way of saying taxes.
Extreme of socialism was the Soviet system, communism. So there was no pricing structure, and it's a failed system. It can't work because prices are so important.
So communism owns and confiscates the means and fruits of production, whereas socialism confiscates just the fruits of production in the form of excessive taxes. Socialist states in Europe, for instance, confiscate as much as 50% of the money citizens pay for retail products and services. This is the outrageous sales tax a socialist state demands.
We interfere a lot, but we allow prices to adjust in the marketplace for the most part. But when it comes to interest rates, the Federal Reserve is always deciding the central plan through the control of money and interest rates, how much money we should have in circulation, and should we shrink the money supply, expand the money supply. And that's a form of socialism, but it's only half of socialism because it's controlling only half of the transaction, and that's money. But it's very dangerous and leads to an authoritarian approach because it eventually breaks down, and I think that's what we're witnessing today.
Thus, a socialist state rapes the people mainly through excessive taxes. A fascist state rapes the people mainly through excessive debt. Both ultimately rape the people through taxes because debt causes inflation, a hidden tax. Debt causes inflation because the Federal Reserve System facilitates the conversion of government bonds, government IOUs, into Federal Reserve notes, what we use as a currency.
Well, the Federal Reserve, in its very nature, is contrary to a free market. The Federal Reserve is not only regulating, but it's manipulating the marketplace against the will of the people who are conducting the marketplace.
When this is done, the money supply is inflated. When the money supply is inflated, it becomes watered down or diluted, just like stock. When a corporation authorizes and issues more stock, existing shareholders are diluted. When money is diluted, it has less purchasing power. When it has less purchasing power, prices rise because it takes more Federal Reserve notes to purchase a given product. When prices rise, it has the effect of a tax. Inflation is therefore a hidden tax.
If the government can create new money that it doesn't have to tax for, and especially if it can put off the ultimate payment of this into the future through the use of long-term bonds that are the backing for the fiat currency, then we have a government that is essentially out of control to some degree. It can make decisions that are not immediately going to subject the people to pressure.
Unfortunately, the constitutional republic envisioned by the founders is being undermined by cultural Marxism and destroying the republic envisioned by the founders.
Okay, there you go. And that was a short little section, but I would say, a very critical section.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's happening.
Right. See, when Obama was printing the trillions of dollars, right? Think about it. Obama spent trillions. Then Trump comes in. What does he spend? Trillions. Because Trump spent trillions.
Mm-hmm.
He did, right?
Yes.
Trillions of dollars to rebuild the military. Trillions of dollars to, with the tax cut. Okay, so now here comes Biden, and he's spending trillions too. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Inflation. A hidden tax. Because they just listen.
That's right.
All of these checks that people are getting, all this money that they're getting through unemployment, that's all printed money.
Yes.
We're gonna pay very soon with inflation. A pizza
that's
is
right.
going to cost you $100. It's going to cost
and
you $100.
And that's biblical, too.
Right.
You know, that's biblical. So what we're going to do is you'll see the scales there. You know, people can't afford to eat when that happens. There's
sure.
no money. They can't afford to eat.
The great
famine.
Wealth transfer. The great wealth transfer
yep.
through inflation.
Yep. Yep.
The
yep.
1% is going to get all your money through inflation.
Yeah. And you think about it, there's a tax rise. You know, Biden ran on that. Now,
sure.
I said, who signs up for that? Who signs up? Who says, oh, yeah, I want to vote. He's going to raise the taxes. Well, why? You know, why is he doing that? And who would vote for that? At the end of the day, who would vote for that? You know, you have to ask
well,
yourself.
Well,
people
vote for it because they say, okay, he's going to raise the taxes, but he'll ensure that we all get health care. So it'll hurt a little bit, but at least everybody's taken care of. The problem is nobody's taken care of, not even you.
That's right.
Because the
That's
greatest,
right.
the great, listen, the great mismanagers of money, you want to, listen, if you want to blow money, give it to these two groups. Give it, if you want to blow money, give it to pastors. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to blow money.
Yep.
They know how to squander money. And the other one is the politicians. Give them the money and they'll squander it. Two groups
That's right.
that you should not be giving money to.
Yes. Well, I know in our case, our governor has collected millions. Just, you know, like, I don't know how many, you know, we're talking in the hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. But yet the first time we need something, she said there's no money to do that. You see? There was
right.
no money to extend the unemployment, yet she got $33,000 per COVID victim where she was mad because she was promised $333,000.
Right.
So our numbers went up, you know?
Right.
Magically. And she got that money, but when they wanted to extend the unemployment, at first she said no because it's not available because the state pays that, you see? But all those millions, where did it go? And by the
sure.
way, Gates, you know who owns the most farmland in the United States? I think I just gave it away.
Yeah, Mr. Gates.
Bill,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Sure.
So that's communism.
Well, he's going to get into the food business. Look. This is what's going to happen. When the economy goes belly up and you ask people, do you want computers or you want food? What do you think starving people are going to say? You think starving people want computers? No. They want food in their bellies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why
yep.
he bought this farmland, because he's going to get in the food production business. That's, because, listen, when an economy collapses, when a nation goes belly up financially, nobody cares. Listen, nobody's buying sneakers. Nobody's going to go buy a basketball. No one's going to go buy golf clubs. What they're going to buy is food, because that's what's
Correct.
Needed to survive. That's why in a preemptive strike, these guys are already getting farmland to do what?
Mm-hmm.
To get make themselves, because they're not going to get rich selling software. Because nobody's going to about software. Right. They're going to care about food. Food.
Right.
And
so they created each crisis, and
right.
then they're the problem solvers, see?
Correct.
They have the food.
That's
they
it.
Have. They create
That's
the shortage.
It.
You look at the shortages we had during COVID. Think about it. Oh, well, who made out? The people who make the masks? By the
mm-hmm.
way, which was China, most
right.
of them,
right?
Which
sure.
makes no sense to me. Yeah,
right.
You know, supposedly this came from China, but so we have to wear masks that are made in China. That makes no sense. But they create the crisis, and then they're the answer, you know,
right.
to everyone with the whether it be food. You know, and that's why they're shutting down a lot of the small businesses, too, because they're greedy. They want their share. The big supermarkets that are going along with this, like Walmart, whatever, they want control of everything. It's about controlling.
Right.
I mean, you know, everything in society. To me, the Bible talks about a war between, you know, we have a war between the righteous and the unrighteous. And I can
mm-hmm.
think of no greater movement right now that would set the stage for that than cultural Marxism. You know, all these different movements are wrapped in a package under the guise of woke Christianity.
Right.
I mean, in the church setting. But it's actually
right.
a tool that carves away at Christianity. That's what woke Christianity is, this, as far as the church goes. You
mm-hmm.
know, it's carving
sure.
away at Christianity to get rid of it. But it's under the guise Christianity. Well, we're,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're awake.
Yeah.
We're, you know.
Sure.
So in the church setting, that's exactly what we have. In the world setting, I mean, it's just destroying the nation is what it is.
Sure. Correct. Correct.
Now,
the
collective,
yeah.
go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead. Let me hear your thoughts on collectivism.
No, I'm just, yeah, well, you must conform whether you want to or not. So if you think about the world today, you know, there's coercion to get the youth to act, you know, in a certain way that they feel is wrong. I mean, a lot of the kids in their heart, they don't like it. But they're being persuaded by other people who have been brainwashed, who have been programmed. You know, there's a peer pressure there to go along with them.
Right.
So they, you know, to get them into collective thought, you have to think like that. And when the Bible talks about having one mind, that these evil people have one mind, that's exactly
right.
what that is. I mean, talk about the Bible being 100% correct in everything. It is so precise, you know, about what's happening right now. You could take that and say, this is what's happening. We were warned about this stuff. We've been warned about this coming down the pipes that this was going to happen. It's not this could happen. This is what will happen in the end times. And
correct.
We can see it right before our eyes. You know,
correct.
So they're just changing the name, collectivism. That's being of one mind for evil.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
you lose your independence. And I want to say something, you know, during the elections here, I heard a bishop stand up in our state. And after he came out of the arena where a lot of the debate went on about, you know, the election, whether it was stolen or not, and a lot of things
mm-hmm,
happened
mm-hmm.
that night.
Right.
He come out of there and said, well, he announced we have just gone from picking cotton to picking presidents. He was elated about this, excited. And I thought, how silly can you be? You just put everybody back into slavery. Your children, your grandchildren.
Right, right.
That's
right,
all he
right.
did. And
right.
I remember that because he was so excited, you know, real cocky about, you know,
sure.
getting
sure.
Joe Biden in and
yeah.
bragging about getting Joe Biden in and how excited they were. You know, we went to picking presidents. It's like, no, you just put your children, your children's children, if the Lord tarries, yourself and the rest of society, you help put them back into slavery, because that's exactly what this is.
Right.
This is slavery.
Right.
We were too free for these Marxists, too free of
well,
a country.
I mean, listen, the Marxists are not going... They're not going to these. They're not going to China to do this. They're not going to Russia to do this. They're not going to North Korea. They're coming to the United. Their main target is the United
mm-hmm.
States. They want to destroy the United States because the United States is technically the last man standing.
Yes,
it's the last man.
You
knock out the United States. Here comes the Antichrist.
Right.
That's it.
That's exactly it.
That's
it. It's done. And I remember there's a scripture, and I can't think of it right now, but there is a scripture that says that there is a country or a nation that gives the Antichrist trouble. You know, and I always hope that was the United States. Since we're the last man standing, I hope that's it, you know?
Yeah.
We're a nation,
yeah.
you know, because we are... You know, I've watched England, you know, years ago you could say, oh, they have the same rights we do, you
right.
know, and I've watched that to the point it's just completely fell apart. The people
sure.
are not on board with this, but the government is totally on board. In fact,
right.
my husband told me that there's a new, he heard or read that there's going to be a new law that you can't swear in your car. Not that it's good to swear. I'm not saying that.
Right, right,
but
right.
what I'm saying is your privacy, even in your own car, you can't swear, and the fine is something like £1,000 for
wow.
swearing in your own car.
Wow. Talk about inflation.
Is that incredible?
That's incredible. That's a new – listen, they're going to come up with new ways to fine you.
Yes.
Right?
They
I
need
mean,
the money.
Yeah, they
yes.
listen, they, sure, sure, absolutely, absolutely they need the money. So America is, you know, I know that our knees are wobbly, we're about to go down for the count, but at least we're still standing. To a certain degree, we're still standing.
Yes.
And
yes.
and it's, you know, it is what it is. We're you know, but if we go the way of these other countries, that's it. The end is near. The end is near.
Yeah.
And this was a great show today. I love the audio. I love that last section. I mean, all the sections were good, but this last section, I'm even gonna have my children listen to it. You know, I got some homeschoolers here because that
mm-hmm.
section best explains. I mean, in a concise. It wasn't even 5 minutes. It shows you the difference between socialism and communism and a democracy. And
yeah.
I don't have to do the lesson. I just have to say, listen to this. And I would have done my job. So I saved myself,
yeah.
you know, it was excellent.
And
it
where did
really,
we end?
Really,
where
we
did
ended
that end?
At the 32-minute mark. 32:45.
Okay.
32:45. That's where we ended.
All right. Got it.
Okay. So
all right.
you, my dear sister,
thank you.
You have the last word. Thank you for this outstanding show. We'll get back to it next week.
Welcome.
And what say you?
Well, I'd say, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what is the focus of cultural Marxism? And that's to de-Christianize society. That is the focus. And we have to, you know, as far as the church goes, and we have to ask who would hate Christianity? Who's behind this? Who do they really hate? And the answer is Jesus. You know, anything if you really look at it biblically, they hate Jesus. They hate Christianity. They hate God. So that should show you who's behind the movement. The hatred of God is the driving force behind us, and we shouldn't, you know, adopt anything that they dish out, is all I have
right.
to say. So have a great, great week, and we'll see you next week.
What?